Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in our studios to talk a little bit about a program, one of the continuing programs hosted down at the American Legion Memorial Building, the Old Armory here in Atlantic. Steve Livengood in with us this morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. He is going to be putting on the program here this Sunday, and that's it's kind of a catchy title there. It says, Things That Make You Go Boom.
Exactly, because that's what high explosives is.
Well, there it is. There you have it. There's the synopsis of the program on Sunday.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Yeah. Have a great day.
It's quick.
Well, yeah, in fact, it won't be quick. We were talking a little bit here earlier this morning before we got on the air, and you were mentioning that you were putting together this presentation.
We don't want to tell them that it's going to take all day. No, it's you don't get the opportunity to see this very often, so I'm trying to get as much of it in as I can. So it's we're going to go fast, but it's going to lot of things to be covered.
Well, there's so many things. When you talk about things that go boom in the military, everything pretty much does.
That's kind of what it's all about. Yeah, we're talking literally howitzers, hand grenades, bazookas and bombs and mines and mortars and just all kinds of things.
Some things that folks will be familiar with or think they are familiar with.
You know, I think that the ones that are familiar with it would be the prior military folks, because I pretty much guarantee that if you think you know how it works, unless you've been around it, you really don't know how it works. It's not like it is in the movies. There'll be a lot of technical expertise or a technical explanation going on.
Well, and we hear terms like bazooka, howitzer, and, you know, it sounds familiar. We kind of think we have a grasp of it, but I'm sure we'll probably be a little surprised at how those things work, how they were constructed.
Yeah, and what their intent was, what was wrong with them, why they got replaced, how come you would use this one instead of that one. And there'll be a lot of, you know, everything from Navy, Air Force, Army, I mean the big 16-inch things all the way to the itty-bitty little pencil-sized things.
Yeah, you bet. Now, you lived some of this as an Army soldier, but did you have to do a lot of research then on this too?
I did. I've had to do a lot of research. I frequently, we were in Hastings, Nebraska last weekend, and I bought a piece, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I just know I didn't have it in my collection. And so I've been researching that one for probably about a week now. I love Google, but sometimes you just can't find the thing. And, of course, it is the Internet, so you're not sure if it's accurate. You've got to verify it two or three different times. But, yeah, a lot of things I have to learn myself in order before I can present it.
Now, will a lot of the items that you're talking about, will you have some of those on display?
There'll be a ton of it. You know, how often can you do this? Here, I'm going to hold this up to my mic. I'm reaching in my shirt pocket and pulling out a piece that will be down there. I mean, all of it will be on display, except some of the big naval 16-inch rounds. Like, yeah, look at that. What is that? That's a lazy dog. But, no, don't worry. It's not going to hurt you. But there'll be a lot of things on display. I'm thinking there's going to be somewhere around 50, 60 different items down there. Big, heavy things, small, tiny little things you can carry on your shirt pocket.
This is encased in plastic, but it's...
I don't want your fingerprints all over
it. Yeah, no, I can understand.
And you too, probably.
I'm looking at this thing, though. It's probably not more than an inch and a half long. It's got to cut some weight to it, and it looks like you would imagine a torpedo would look like.
It looks like a bomb, except it's only about an inch and a half long. That's a lazy dog bomblet is what that is, and it's a real piece of ordnance.
Not to give away any of the program on Sunday, but what is that used for?
It's a bomb. You throw it out of airplanes because, you know, it's too small to fit on the bomb rack. And the idea, it's a kinetic energy round. It's a solid piece of steel with little fins on it, so it'll fall straight, and from 37,000, 38,000 feet, it really hurts.
How much damage can I could hold 20 of them in my hand.
Sure.
How much damage could it do?
Well, when you throw them out of an airplane in 5-gallon bucketfuls and they land on trucks, you know, from 37,000 feet and pokes holes right through them, and of course you don't want to be. It's like a hailstone, except it's made out of steel instead of ice. But same concept, yeah. It's just pure kinetic energy.
It's not explosive?
No, there is one piece of steel and four pieces of tin. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
That's all it is. It's a bullet without any powder.
And we imagine sophistication in our military, but yet we have some things like this.
Yeah, of course, I'll have the fuses down there with the little radar detectors in them, too, so when they go up, fly close, and find an airplane, they blow up then. But yeah, really sophisticated stuff, but the really simple stuff is there, too.
That takes a little of everything, I guess.
Indeed, yeah.
When was that used?
This would be a Korean vintage, early Vietnam.
So not so much used anymore?
No, it's not expensive enough now. It doesn't cost enough.
Okay, let's not even go there.
Yeah, okay.
Let's. I want to ask you though too, is it, because some of these things, and you know, we talk about something like this that's so simple. It's,
yes.
It's literally like throwing a rock. But then you've got other things that are so sophisticated, and we scratch our heads wondering, well, they dropped this bomb. How does it know when to go off? Because a lot of these things don't go off hitting. We imagine bombs go off when they hit something.
Right.
A lot of today's explosives don't do that. They're meant to go off. They're above ground.
On bombs and artillery projectiles the same, you don't want them generally to go off when they hit something. You want them to go off before they hit something, or ironically, after they hit something. It's important that they bury themselves into whatever they're hitting and then blow up. So yeah, it's you know, we're talking milliseconds if you're going to put a mechanical timer on it. It's distance if you're talking putting a proximity fuse on it. It's very, very complicated things. Yeah, you've got to, you know, and it's expensive, and I know we don't want to get into that, but it's you can't do that complicated stuff on the fly cheaply. A tank round, a practice tank round that doesn't kill tanks, is $800 just for one bullet. So yeah, it's expensive stuff, complicated things.
Well, absolutely, and a lot of experimentation, a lot of research goes into this.
Big time, yeah. Because you know, when you're like, well, I think this will work. No. We've got to know that it'll work. We can't think that it'll work and shoot at it. I'm like, well, that should have worked, but too late now.
Do you find that a lot of folks who don't have a military background are interested in things like this? Do you get asked a lot of questions when you do different displays?
I sure hope so. it's kind of what Sunday is all about. Yeah, I think that they really will, even if they don't think that there's like, I'm not interested in that. No, we're not talking about how many body parts it'll blow away and that sort of thing. This is just really technical. Oh, that's how that works. So even if you're not interested in how it's, what it's used for and why we should use it in the politics and who should shoot you and who should shoot all that, just don't worry about that. Just the technical things, like, you know, it's like a steam iron. How does it make steam, you know? So the complicated parts, and I think it's interesting. And of course you don't see it all the time. You can't go to the barbershop and talk about, hey, what'd you think of that new MTSQ fuse? You know, that's going to work pretty neat. And it's not the kind of thing that you talk about all the time.
Sure. So you can just, out of curiosity, do you have something you could point to as maybe the most unusual thing that you'll be showing or explaining to folks on Sunday?
There's only going to be one piece of actual live ordnance. You know, it's a chemical thing. I have a piece of gunpowder out of a 16-inch Iowa-class battleship. It's a piece of gunpowder about the size of a 12-gauge shotgun. Yeah, that's right, just one piece. And, of course, it takes 660 pounds of that stuff in order to launch one of them. But that's a pretty unique piece, a piece of gunpowder.
Sure. Now, we should mention, too, that obviously the demonstration is not, or the program on Sunday is safe. Nothing's
safe.
Live.
No, so. The only damage you can probably suffer at this show is if one of these things fall on your foot. There'll be projectiles down there that weigh well over 150 pounds. And so if they fall on your foot, it's going to hurt. You don't need to wear your safety shoes because I just assume you not be picking it up anyhow. But that's the only danger of this stuff. There's not even any sharp stuff down there now. It's just heavy stuff.
There are some of these items that are on display down there anyway at the
actually no.
No.
I've changed the museum. What used to be the middle room that had all the high explosives in it, it's got food stuff in it now. So all of the high explosives, pretty much, if you want to see it, you can see it at this program Sunday, and then of course I'm going to have it out at the Bing Bang Rally, and then after that it's going to be stored away until something else comes along.
Is that kind of a regular rotation you're trying to do down there to
exactly
mix it up?
because when, oh, I've seen that before, we're in trouble then. So of course it's a lot of work to move all that stuff around, but the new middle room of the museum now has cook stoves and ice boxes and mess kits and food things in it now.
Sure. Well, I know there are a lot of your fingerprints down there for a lot of different reasons, for the work you've done over the years, the physical labor you've put in to help in the renovation process, and obviously with displays and things. Are folks gaining an appreciation for what that building has been through and what it does?
I think they do. You know, when the recycling cans were down there, I was always outside a lot. And what do you do in there? And, well, come on in, I'll show you. Now, of course, we do that at least on a monthly basis. Different programs come in. People come in, and it's like, wow, I didn't realize it was like this in here. You, if nothing else, just come in and look at the building. I've got 90 students coming in tomorrow to do tours. I mean, it's the kind of thing you can just walk around and look at the building, let alone all the things that are in it.
Yeah. Every time I'm down there, I wander around into a different room. I was just down there here recently. Wander in a different room and kind of take a look around at some of the things.
There's all kinds of things to discover. Everything is not, you know, flashing lights pointing at this. Sometimes, like, did you see that thing hanging on the wall over there? And then people don't even know there's a wall over there, let alone there's something hanging on it.
Yeah. Well, and personal items that folks have donated to the museum as well. It's really a nice treasure that we have here, and well worth the time and effort and the money that's been raised to continue to move forward with that. These programs, as you mentioned, go on about once a month, so you always have an opportunity. They've had some interesting programs focusing on some different writers and some different events and things that have gone on. This is your chance to learn a little bit more about some of the munitions that have been used over time, too. So check that out. Coming up this Sunday, March 18th, that'll be a 2 o'clock presentation here at the Armory, the American Legion Memorial Building at 201 Poplar Street here in Atlantic. And I guess bring your questions along, too. You'll probably spark a lot of questions.
I'm sure that there'll be a lot of, what is this thing? I found one of these in my garage. Don't bring that stuff in to say, well, what does this blow up? Because don't bring that in. I mean, you know, bring a picture of it if you want to, but don't be handling that stuff if you don't know what it's about.
Yeah, very good. And you'll learn a little bit about what some of those things are about.
Exactly. Too. Why you shouldn't be handling that.
Should be interesting. You've got some things to show, some PowerPoints, and whatever else.
Show up early. There's going to be plenty of time to look at it before and afterwards, too. So there's no problem showing up at noon if you want to. I'll be there.
Excellent. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it. That sounds like it should be a very interesting day. Hope you get a great crowd for that.